Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Vav, and we are smack bang in the middle of the sugya of Yadayim and Yadayim Mochichot versus Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. And let us remember once again where it is that we've gotten up to. We were forced to conclude that the explanation of our Mishnah, the way that Shmuel understood it, is based on breaking up the five cases at the end of the Mishnah into three beginnings and two endings. And the reason is because Shmuel says, it's clear to me from this Mishnah that if Yadayim are not mochichot and they leave open the question of what the meaning is, then that there would be no way that the neder would be chal. Why? Because of one word, lach. Why is the Mishnah insistent on writing Shani Toim Lach? Why isn't it just Shani Ochel Shani Toim? Since that would certainly be a Daim She'enu Mochichot when I'm talking to somebody. And therefore, I conclude that the Mishnah believes that Yadayim She'enan Mochichot Lo Haven Yadayim. In which case, the first three cases of Mudrani, Mufrashani, Muruchakani are cases that are Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. And therefore, the Mishnah is bringing out very clearly. I introduced it invisibly because Chisurim Mechasra. I introduced a concept called Yadayim. Now let me explain the Yadayim. So first of all, here are three cases. Guess what? They're not going to work. But they're Yadayim. They are indeed. But they're Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. So unless you add the last two cases as the end of an opening sentence with one of the first three cases, then you can use those first three cases. But otherwise, they're useless because you need to have Yadayim Mochichot. Of course, the last two cases also are Yadayim because you never said the word Asur or you never said the word Kainam. So the Mishnah is in one fell swoop explaining Yadayim and explaining the difference between Yadayim Mochichot and Yadayim She'enan Mochichot. This is the way that Shmuel understood the Mishnah, and that's the way we ended up explaining it. And the basis of it, we learned yesterday, is from the Pasuk. Because since it uses the Lashon of Hafla'a, so therefore it's a Hekesh of Nazir to Lahazir. Remember that one is the actual Nazirus and one is the Yadot of the Nazirut. That's how we learned the Pasuk before. So then that means we're comparing those two in Yanim. That means that there's two types of Hafla'a. You need to be absolutely clear in the statement of the Nazirus, and you have to also be absolutely clear that there's no suffix that you meant to add the word Neder. You meant to add the word Osir and so on. Okay? That means that now I know that the Yadayim are needed to be Bahafla'a. Fine. So far, so good. Now we understand the Mishnah. Now we have a full appreciation of the range of the Yadayim issues. Now, yesterday the Gemara wanted to say that actually the Machlokas, it turns out that we have a Machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Abaye says Yadayim She'enan Mochichot are Yadayim. And Rav says they're not Yadayim. And we wanted to say, okay, that seems to be the same machlokas that we had in the Mishnah of Gittin. We're over there. The question is it absolutely necessary to write the words, V'dein tahavi lichi minoi sefer teruchim, et cetera, et cetera? Do you have to explain two points? This is how we end up understanding, as the Ram explained, between the two sugyas, one here in Nedarim and one there in Gittin. There are two issues that trouble us that are not 100% clear about the language of a get when you just write the words Hareyat Muteret L'chol Adam. One is, do you absolutely intend that it should be the written sefer, so to speak, or the igeret, which is the way in which the heter is taking place, or might you be merely communicating the fact to her that Hareyat Muteret L'chol Adam, which of course is not a get, and which would not be Matir L'chol Adam. And therefore, it must be that the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan, in which the Rabbanan say it's enough to write Hareyat Muteret L'chol Adam, and Rav Yehuda says, no, it's not, you need to have both the words V'dein, which means this particular piece of paper is necessary, And you have to have the words, loch minoi, I am delivering this to you, as opposed to me providing for someone else a get, which of course is a little ridiculous, but we would still say it, possibly. Now, the question, of course, on the surface, is that we're relating Yadayim She'ena Mochichot in Gittin to the idea of Yadayim She'ena Mochichot in the Nidorim. Now, they are not the same for a very simple reason, and that is we never proved that the concept of Yadayim is meaningful at all in Gittin. Yadayim to what? Remember that the idea of Yadayim makes sense when it comes to Nidorim. Yadayim means, since I need to connect this netter to something that reflects Iser or Konam, so this is a handle to the Iser or Konam. The question is whether language as a concept, its clarity or non-clarity, is really dependent in the issue of Yadayim or not. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's understand that it may be sort of a loose terminology, and this is what the Ron suggests later, that when we say Yadayim are the issue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonin in Gittin, we don't literally mean Yadayim in the same sense as Yadayim of Nidorim, which is a reboot from the Pasuk, which does not exist by Gittin. What we mean is the equivalent idea of clarity in language should also reflect upon what the sheet of the Rabbonin or Rabbi Yehuda would be in the event that there were an actual concept of Yadayim. I'm going to get more into that later. But remember that this harkens back to what it is that we began our understanding of Shmuel with. We had originally thought that Shmuel wasn't talking about Yadayim at all, and that Shmuel was simply explaining that Mudrani Nimcha is not a problem of the clarity of the Yadayim. It's a problem in the clarity of the language of the Neder, per se. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Do you mean you won't stand next to me? You won't watch movies with me? What does it mean? That is not a Yadayim problem. We were forced to withdraw that opinion because we saw that there was a machlokas in the Braita about how to understand the way that the two cases would be mixed, which didn't work out according to Shmuel. So we were forced to conclude that it's indeed dependent on the machlokas of whether we need Yadayim Mochichot. Now, the Ran and Tosis might suggest that this is borrowed terminology, but conceptually speaking, see how related this is to Rava's point that it's the hafla'ah that we find by the din of the Zeros that is mechadesh that we need Yadayim Mochichot as well, even though it doesn't mean the same thing as the Ran speaks out, because it's insane to say it means the same thing. Why? Because if Naziris needs hafla'ah, so certainly yad for Naziris, which is less than Naziris, of course would need hafla'ah. So how could it mean the same thing? Why would I need a hekesh to tell me hafla'ah, that there's a din of hafla'ah by Yadayim, if Yadayim are nothing but a format of Naziris, you see? So therefore, we're using borrowed terminology. There's clarity of hafla'ah in the intent of the neder, or the Naziris. There's a separate level of clarity in how much I meant to say the word usur or korban in this communication, or cherem, whatever the case might be, you see. And that's exactly the Ran's proof, that there's no other way to understand it. We're using borrowed terminology. So the hafla'ah by the Naziris itself, through a hekesh, becomes a similar concept of hafla'ah to the Yadayim of the Nazir. And from there, we learn out Nidorim as well. But it never says anywhere that Gittin have a concept of Yadayim. So over there, we may be limited to the similar concept of clarity of intent in terms of language for any particular process. And since a get is going to have to clarify the nature of kritut, so we would require, in the same way that if you hold, you require Yadayim Mochichot, we would require hafla'ah, so to speak, is a borrowed term, obviously. We would require a clarity in the language of the get. Okay, that's where we were up to. It seems like it's the same machlok. Now, the Gemara explained that both Abaya and Rava claimed that Gittin is a special case and that their opinions are not connected to the opinions of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. What's the special case about Gittin? Well, first of all, Gittin, on the one hand, requires more clarity. Why? Because the Torah said Sefer Kritut, and Kritut means absolute end without strings attached. If the language is ambivalent in any way, then that's not a get by definition of Gittin. It has nothing to do with Yodayim Mochichot, and therefore it may be a very special case. On the other hand, we could say Gittin is a special case because you'd have to be nuts to think that somebody is giving a get to a woman who is not his wife. So why would he have to say from me to you? Obviously it's from me to you. So maybe that's a contextual clarity, which is sufficient. Okay, that is the way that both Abaya and Rava excused their shita and claimed, each of them, that we are not involved in that machlokas. I believe, says each of them, that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan would agree to my shita if it weren't talking about the case of Gittin. And that's however it is that you hold. Fine. Now, the question is, and here is before we begin today's Gemara, which is the Meisve on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, on the second line, I just want to point out to you a machlokas rishonim that has great bearing on the way that we just explained and understood the Gemara. So what did Rava say? Rava said, look, the only reason that the Rabbanan said that we don't require Yodayim Mochichot by Gittin is because obviously Ein Adam Migaresh Eshet Chavero. The Rashba says that makes no sense. What the Gemara is actually trying to say is that they are Yadayim Mochichot because Ein Adam Megaresh Eshet Chavero, correct? So why do you say, until now the Rabbonim were never Makbid and they said that you need Yadayim Mochichot, that you don't need Yadayim Mochichot, is by Gittin because contextually it is Mochiach, not because I don't believe that you need Yodayim Mochichot? That's the Rajba's point, and he says the language of the Gemara is Mishubash. Something went wrong with the Girsa, because it is not true that the Rabbanan hold that you don't need Yodayim Mochichot. It's just that they hold that these are Yodayim Mochichot, because what else could it possibly mean but that I am giving you a divorce? What is it you'd think it means? That somebody else is giving you a divorce? That's crazy. Now, this is very important insight into the discussion we just had. And the Ron says, I disagree. I do not see that there's a problem of using exactly those words. Why? Simply because Yadayim Mochichot ought to be a definition of the nature of language, not the nature of context. It's a completely different issue. Because remember, the whole idea of Yadayim is that the meaning of language is also substantiated by its communication because the brain fills in meaning. And therefore, that's included in language. Therefore, says the Ran to the Rashba, what does your point have to do with Yadayim? Context is not Yadayim. Context is not language. Context are external pointers to meaning. You see the point? Yadayim are internal pointers to meaning. They are the equivalent of optical illusions in terms of semantic illusions. What I hear is something that you didn't say, but it's obvious in what it was you were trying to say. The same way that my eyes will fill in the blanks in cases where the brain expects a certain image. That is part of language. But, Tainas the Ron, context is not part of language. Context is part of meaning. So what does this have to do with Yadayim? The Yadayim are still not Mochichot. And nonetheless, what the Rabbanan are saying is that Yadayim, She'inan Mochichot, are sufficient in the event that there are additional pointers to meaning. That's all that they're saying. And therefore, the language of the Gemara is completely correct. Now, these are profound differences in the entire basis of the philosophical meaning of the Masechet, this machlokas here between the Rashba and the Ran. And as we've seen, we are interchanging, to some extent, the concept of clarity in the intent of meaning with clarity in language. And for the previous is what we're talking about originally in Shmuel. The first one is what we were talking about initially in our understanding of the Machlokas in Gittin. And furthermore, the first one is what we're talking about over here. The clarity of the language and not the clarity of the Adayim. The difference between the two of them is the difference between the meaning of Hafla'ah in Nizirut and Hafla'ah for the Adayim of Nizirut. Okay, is this something that's like too esoteric or it's clear? All right, great. So now we're ready to begin the attack in the Gemara on Abaye, who's claiming that everything would work out perfectly well and he could hold both shitas and so on.
Where did the Ran explain this, Rebbe?
You want the line number?
I'd love it. On our daf?
Yeah, on our daf. Take a look in the middle of the daf in the Gemara and draw a straight line to your left to get into the Ran, and you will see the words Haraj Bazal Shibesh Loshan Zeh, and that, to read that over carefully to see how he explains the Rashba and how he says, I disagree. Always good to look at inside. Excellent. Please always ask. Okay. Now, today, the Gemara says, Abaye's claim that everybody believes that Yadayim She'enon Mochichot are good, and there was only a problem in the clarity of the language when it came to the issue of Gittin, is wrong. How do I know? Because look at the Braita. Meitvei. If somebody says, Hare hu alive, this particular thing, so he points to an object of some kind, is alive, or about it, or he points to it, and he said, Hare ze alive. He is usur to be nene from that particular thing. Why? Because that is the way that you make a carbon. When you want to make a carbon, you say, Hare ze alive ola, or something like that, right? So since you said Hare Zeh Alai, it's as if you said Hare Zeh Alai Konam, because that's the standard way of saying you're going to bring a carbon. Now, why do you have to say Alai? Only because if you don't, it wouldn't be an usur. Time of the Omer Alai or the usur. Suppose he didn't say the word Alai, it wouldn't have been usur. Well, why wouldn't it have been usur? I mean, after all, even if you say Hare Zeh, isn't this Hare Zeh Oila? Hare Zeh Shlamim? Can't you make an Adova with just plain old Hare Zeh without saying that it should be a lie? So you see that since it's not clearly saying what it is that it is on me, it would be a Yad, but it would not be a Yad that is Mochia. Okay? So then, apparently, Abaye is wrong, because the Braita is clearly saying that if it's a Yadayim, she'enon mochichot, so then it's enon Yadayim. And Abaye claimed that everybody believes that Yadayim, she'enon mochichot, having Yadayim. Omelecha Abaye, no, that's not why. The reason that if you don't say Alai, it's no good, is not because it's Yadayim, she'enon mochichot. It's worse than that. Because time of the Omer Alayhu the Aser is because that's only the only way that I know that that's what you're trying to say. But when you say the words, I hereby declare this to be, which is all you're saying when you're saying Harezeh, I hereby declare this to be, okay, I hereby declare this to be what? Hefker. I mean, people could say that, could they not? Yeah. I hereby declare this to be a gift to tzedakah. Do people say that? Yeah, they do. Of course they do. So then the problem is that I have not an issue of the yad. I have an issue in imprecise language. I don't know what you're talking about. And if I don't know what you're talking about, it isn't a yad. It's not a yad at all. So if I was sure what you were talking about, then I would say, No, of course. Why do you need a lie? You can make a carbon anyway. But since I have no idea that you've been talking about Isser, so why in the world would it be a nether? That's a completely different problem. A nether, that's what we thought that Shmuel was saying, remember? And now it is what Abaya is saying. But the Gemara says, but that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says that the reason that it's Osir is Mipnei Shu Yad LeKorban. And since even saying Hare Zeh, it should be a Yad LeKorban, so then it must be that the problem is an issue in the nature of the Yad itself. So therefore, if you normally would say Hare Zeh Alai, then the people will also say Hare Zeh. That should be enough of a Yad. And Abai is claiming that that's not the issue. So then there's something wrong here, because that does not seem to be what it is that Abaya is saying. Okay, fine. So you're right. What Abaya will say to you is, the Braita could still work out according to me, who holds that everybody agrees that Yadayim Shena Mochichot are Yadayim, but Ema, Taima, the Omer Alai, we're going to try the same shtick with Abaye that we tried with Shmuel to make it worse if you hadn't said a lie, okay? Not very good shtick. It didn't work with Shmuel. It's not going to work with Abaya either. But let's give it a try. The only reason that we're talking about a case over here where the person who made the statement is Usher, but the other individual is Mutter, is because he said a lie. It's only Usher on me. But had you just said Arehu, you both would have been Usher, because maybe he was saying Arehu Hegdesh. This should be like Hegdesh, and if it's like Hegdesh, then it's us on both of us. So maybe that would be the pshat. Now, this is based, Moshe, you'll have to not rely on, oh, Gavi showed up just in time to take the first notes. At least that we hope he's there behind the trademark. So this is based on a yesod, which is called Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. And that is that if I don't know 100% how much you want to be machmir with your neder, we're going to assume that you meant the chomor neder. So therefore, what I'm saying is, look, it is a yad, and it is a neder, but it might be a yad lahegdash, in which case it's going to aser both of you. So now you're telling me, well, so I know you're aser, so how do I know you're that aser? Because stam nedarim. That's all. And therefore, if you say it's a lie, then you're saying clearly, no, Kimmy, just the Hegdash, a lie. So it's a lie. It's only usher to me. Excellent. Why, you'll ask, why, if Stam Nedarim are Lahachmir, why do we need Yodais to be so clear? Why don't we just say, even if it's Besupak, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir? Because this is the whole point that we're trying to make over here. The neder is a hachmer when it's a neder. And I just don't know how chomer you wanted to make it, but if I have no idea whether you're telling me this should be hefker, this should be tzedakah, then it's not a neder at all, because it starts off with indeterminate language. And if you hold that you need your yadayim mochichot, it's not a neder. It's not like, well, we're misupik, let's go lachumra. No. You start with the neder, and then the definition of the neder could be lahachmir. You don't create a neder lahachmir. That's the machlokas about yadayim. Fine. Okay. So let's see. So far, Abaya is standing up to our attacks. Here is another attack on Abaya. Meisvei. Somebody says, this animal should be a korban chatas. This animal should be a korban asham. Now, can you make an animal a chatas? No. A chatas can only be brought if you are chayav a chatas. But suppose you were chayav a chatas. Suppose you were chayav a chatas. You were chayav an asham. And then you say, this animal is a chatas. Would we say, well, obviously, since you are chayav a chatas, you're trying to make this a chatas, what you mean is you are a chatas, right? I mean, that's what I would think. And yet the Braisa says, no. If you say Harezu Chatas, Harezu Asham, even if you are Chayav Chatas and an Asham, it's nonsensical statement. Why? Because you didn't say my Chatas. You didn't say my Asham. So maybe you're trying to bring an Edova of a Chatas and an Asham, which you cannot do. If you say, Arezu Chatati, Arezu Ashami, and you were Mechuyev a Chatas or an Asham, then Enoch Inami, you would in fact be Chayev. Because what you're saying is that this is a Chatas, of course, that I owe. You're saying it beferish, but I don't understand. Isn't the additional point of my Chatas, the need to say it, isn't that insisting that we should be talking about Mochichot? I mean, it's pretty reasonable, say 90%, that when the guy said Arezu Chatas, he's referring to Chatasi, right? And yet we're saying, because it's possible for me to understand this as meaning something nonsensical, that's not good enough. To Yuftada Abaye. Because after all, according to Abaye, everybody agrees that a Yadayim She'eno Mochichot is good, unless you're talking about Gittin. Now we see that that's not true. Even the Gabi and Netter of a Carbon, it's not good. So that seems to be the end of Abaye. Says Abaye, you know what? Now, when Abaye says these words, boy, is he sticking a knife into his heart. Abaye says, well, after all, this bright is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And just like Rabbi Yehuda said, you need a clear-cut statement when it comes to a get, because you have to write V'dain, and you have to write Minoi. So this is going like Rabbi Yehuda. What? Abaye, how could you? You were the one who claimed that that was only because of Gittin and that you agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And now all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda is an excuse for why you can get away with murder. Come on, man. And now he's coming to say, well, okay, Rabbi Yehuda actually would argue on me, but I'm going like the Rabbanan. Well, great to tell you, boys, bite the bullet. He changed his mind. Okay. Well, he didn't have much of a choice but to change his mind, did he? Okay, so now Abaye is ready to agree that the Machlokas, the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda in Gittin is relevant to understanding the Machlokas of Yadayim Mochichot. Ask the Gemara, does that mean that we should give up on trying to make the two Machlokas in non-interdependent? Maybe should we also bite the bullet and claim that, well, Rava then was going only on Libet Rabbi Yehuda, and Abaye was going on Libet Rabbanan, and just accept the fact that this was the Machlokas in Gittin? Absolutely not, says Rava. Get out of here. Just because you caught Abaye means you get me involved too? I maintain exactly what I said before. Ana de'amri afilu l'Rabbanan. And like I explained to you before, I'll repeat it. Note that language, which was the machlokas between the Ran and the Rajba, whether this language is usable. When did the Rabbanan say you do not need Yadayim Mochichot according to the Rajba? That's ridiculous. They said that you do need Yadayim Mochichot, except that they are Mochichot. And the Ran says, no, the Yadayim are not Mochichot, only the context are Mochichot. Wonderful machlokas, right? So, Adkan Lokom Rabbanan de Lobin on Yadayim Mochichot. Elagabe get. Why? Because contextually it would be absurd to think anything else. And therefore I still maintain Abaye is the one who's got problems. I have no problems. And I maintain that everybody agrees. And as we paskin before, indeed, we do paskin like Rava. And therefore, you do require Yadayim Mochichot. And that is the halacha. As to how that impacts the din in Gittin, do you need both Minoi and do you need Vidain? That is a big machlokas because of the issues that we raised. Are the two sugyas really talking about Yadayim? Are they talking about similar types of issues of clarity, inserting other elements of contextual? Then if contextually a person isn't Megarish another wife, it doesn't mean that that answers the Vedain. That only answers the Minoi, right? Okay, so some are Mechalik La'alocha between the need for Minoi and the need for Vedain. Others say that we end up having, with both of them having to be Machmer, that we would require Vedain, we would require Minoi. Fine, but that is a Gittin question, not an Adorim question. We've already seen how we can separate between the two issues. Now, Rav Papa has another question. I would like to know whether Kiddushin can be achieved on the basis of Yadayim. We're going to ask what that would mean. What did you say that it is not clear? So obviously, there's nowhere in the Torah that it says anything about Yadot for Kiddushin. And here is where the Rishonim said, so why the heck is Rav Papa only asking about Kiddushin? And we were ready to dance to the tune of Yadayim when it came to Gerushin. Where in the world did the Torah say anything about Gerushin, about Yadayim? So why is this a question of Kiddushin? And here's where I explained to you before that indeed we have to admit that the question vis-a-vis Gerushin really wasn't about Yadayim. It was about clarity of meaning, which we assumed could be applied to Yadayim. Okay, but when it comes to Kiddushin, I'm talking about a classic Yad meaning. There's no question whatsoever that we're talking about a real Kiddushin, and the only issue is whether in this particular application of that Kiddushin, is that clear? So could I utilize the idea of a Yad? Well, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, is the language clear? Is it not clear? How do you get a Yad? Very simple. I get a Yad by using a Kiddushin to one woman as the basis of the Kiddushin to another woman, where I don't say clearly what I mean. So what's the case? I mean, Ilay Mediomer La Isha. Let's say you say to a woman, Hare At Mekudeshet Li. Right? That's classic Kiddushin language. Now, you turn to a friend of hers who's right next to her, and you say, you too. Okay. I mean, so you're asking whether they are both Mekudeshot? I mean, if he gave them both Kesef Kiddushin, obviously, that's Kiddushin. Pshita, I mean, why are you calling that a Yad? It's not a Yad. That is Kiddushin. I mean, you're making a clear-cut statement when you say you too. You're saying I'm applying that same sentence. Are at Mekudeshet Li. I am saying to you as well. It's only if I can leave open the way that the meaning is unclear about its application to the other woman. Over here, the application to the other woman isn't unclear in the least. He turned to her, he gave her a pruta, he said, and you, I don't understand. Where is the yad? That's unclear. No, you're right, right. Hainu Kiddushin Atzman, correct. That is standard Kiddushin. I'm just introducing the idea, okay? I'll tell you what the case would be. Suppose you say to one woman, Hare At Mekudeshet Li, and you give her two prutot. And then you turn to her friend and you say, Ve'at, and you don't say you too. You say, and you, now, I mean, and you sounds like you too. I mean, what else does it mean? Well, wait a minute. I mean, it could mean, and you should consider the possibility of also becoming my wife. I don't know. Maybe that's what it means. Or you should dream about being my wife. Or I want to think about making you my wife. I don't know. Maybe it's just like sort of, and you. So the words don't necessarily mean you too, right? Especially when you don't have the, what do you call that? You know, the slash for me too. I forgot what that, what do they call that? Sulamit in Hebrew.
Hashtag.
Hashtag, thank you, yes. So you didn't put the hashtag before the you. Incredible. All right, so that would be the case. Okay, so then we want to know. Mi Amrina, do we say, well, at would mean at nami, basically based on the yat, in which case Kiddushin would be chal on her. Or maybe we should say, when he says va'at, he meant chazai. Think about it. Amalala chaverta. In which case, that's where the Rambam learns anyway. In which case, lo tafsi ba kiddushin bechaverta, even if she would agree and she would take the money and would say, okay, you'll be my shliach to take the money. So even that. Now, this is clearly not yadayim she'einan mochichot. These are yadayim that are mochichot. That's, I mean, 99%, that's what he meant. And you, meaning and you too. But if there's no yad, then there's no yad. It's still a yad, even if it's mochichot. Fine. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that Rav Papa was not sure about whether they're in your Dayan? I'll prove to you that that's not true. From Masechet Kedushin, Mibi Boilele Rav Papa, he wants to know whether Yadayim help for Kedushin. Rav Papa attacks Abaye in Masechet Kedushin. And he said to him as follows, Mi Sabar Shmuel Yadayim She'inan Mochichot Havin Yadayim? Now, the case over there was talking about a situation where Shmuel was mashma, that even Yadayim She'inan Mochichot are kosher for Kedushin. And Rav Papa attacks that on the basis of Shmuel's holding that Yadayim She'inan Mochichot lo av Yadayim from here in Nedarim, which is what we just read in the Mishnah, remember? So if Rav Papa attacks Abaye and saying Shmuel couldn't have said such a thing, he doesn't hold Yadayim She'inan Mochichot are Yadayim. I mean, they seem to be taking for granted that there are Yadayim. The only question is, do you need Yadayim Mochichot or Yadayim She'inan Mochichot? So Michlal the Sfir Leila Rav Papa, the Yesh Yad LeKiddushin. So how in the world is here he's not sure? That's no question. I mean, he was talking about Chod Amigo Mai the Sfir Leila Shmuel Amar LeAbaye. He wants to find a stira within Shmuel. He's not indicating his own personal opinion about whether there are Yadayim or not. Yadayim, that is not the point. You can't ask a question on him just because he wants to show that Shmuel is contradicting himself. Fine. Now, before we continue, let's just understand the idea of the Yad for Kedushin versus the idea of a Yad for, which is the way that we use the word, benogei nedar. Because look, when we're talking over here about the yesh yad, it's only where we're not able to prove 100% what it is that you meant, right? It could mean something else. Namely, va'at chazoy. Let's think about it. Or you should consider getting married to me, right? So over there, we're talking about the concept of Yadayim. So that if that's the case, then when it came to Nedarim and we came to Kedushin, we're talking about two completely different things. Because if we're talking about Nedarim, we're talking about cases where we have absolutely no question about what you're trying to do. The question is whether you can use a Yad to do it, in terms of language, correct? So then why does Rav Papa illustrate the issue of Yad by bringing a case where we're not 100% sure of what you're trying to do? That's not what a Yad meant by Nedarim. Again, Nedarim, it was not because we were misopic about whether there's a Yad. Where Nedarim don't mean anything, so I don't know whether you're talking about making something hefker, or you're talking about making it tzedakah, or you're making it usser, that's not a problem in Yodais. That's a problem in the language of the Neder, as we've just spent the morning discussing. So now to find Rav Papa characterizing the nature of Yad by Kedushin as meaning I'm not quite sure what you mean is a little ridiculous. That's not Yad. That is the question of clarity of language. So why are we calling it Yad? Don't understand. How do we use the word in different ways when we talk about Neder and we talk about Kedushin? Now, here it's very important to realize that we utilize the word Yad loosely throughout. When it comes to Neder, the Yad has to be a handle to the basis of the Isser. When it came to Gittin, that's not what Yad meant. The way we were using it, we used it as a borrowed term in terms of clarity of language, which might allow even for contextual clarity. When it comes to Kedushin, you have to ask yourself, is Kedushin created by the statement? No. Is Neder created by the statement? Yes. So therefore, when it comes to a Neder, the question of language is the primary question. Is this the language that creates Isser? What's the point of making the statement when you give a woman a ring under a chuppah? Areat Mekudeshetli, where obviously that's what you're doing with this ring. Is it the language of Areat Mekudeshetli that creates the Kedushin? No. It's the giving her the ring that creates the Kedushin. So there, the language is only serving to create the correct context for the action. Obviously, it's not going to be the same question of the nature of language. Why do I have to question the nature of language in terms of clarifying the context of an act? Please. And that's the same idea as by Gerushin, you see? So, of course, we're not trying to utilize the word in precisely the same way. We're talking about two separate things here. One is the technical concept of language and its power, and the other is the question of meaning, which would relate to context as well. These two things are so interwoven that the sugyas flip back and forth in terms of understanding your intent and the question of whether the language supports that intent. If we don't bite the bullet and accept this, we are left with tremendous contradictions throughout all of the dapim that we just learned. And there's almost no way that anyone has ever succeeded in making this technically feasible to include all of these questions under the technical definition of yad, and that definition would be the same for all things, gittin, nedarim, nezirus, kiddushin, peah, tzedakah, hefker, all of the things that we're about to discuss in terms of the nature of meaning. So I would suggest that we go ahead and accept that we are dealing with different issues that are profoundly interrelated. That's all. Okay, so now getting back to the next question. Rav Pop had another question. What would be the din about peah? Can you create peah with a yad? And well, what's the case? Now, when we come to peah, we're not talking about the same kind of thing that we have with Kedushin and Gerushin. Why? Because Kedushin and Gerushin do not have any basis in the Torah for comparison to Nedarim and the nature of language. Problem is that peah does, as we're going to see. There is a pasuk that seems to be makish peah to Nedarim. And if that's the case, there we can even ask a technical yad. So let's take a look at that and we'll see what the issue is. Hechidon, when you say that it should be a yad, so what does that mean? Does that mean the way we just described it in Kedushin? You take out the last row of your field, which you left as peah, and you say, okay, this furrow, this ugia, should be peah. And then you point to the adjacent furrow, and you say, and that one also, now wait a minute, that one also, there's nothing that has to do with yad, you just took off peah. Normally, that's the way you normally take off peah. I mean, peah is not the last furrow, because the Rabbanan defined echad mishishim to be the correct amount of peah to give. So therefore, when you said this too, it's like I need this one and half of that one, whatever. How else do you take off peah? So why are we calling that a yad? So that can't be the case. So what is Rav Papa's case of yad lepeah? Hikami boile, kagon di omar, where you said, here is a furrow for peah, and then you look at the next one and you say, Vehadain, which is the same as saying to that other woman, Ve'at, Vehadain, and he didn't say Vadain Nami. This should also be peah. So maybe when you said Vehadain, you didn't mean Vehadain peah. You meant Vehadain, I think I'll keep this one for myself, you know? So that's the question. Would this be? It's certainly clear, and therefore, if Yadayim are applicable to peah, this is yadayim mochichot, because that's the normal meaning. And remember, in the context of comparison to nedarim, yadayim mochichot does not mean there's absolutely no question. It just means what is the most reasonable fill-in that your brain will take out of it, correct? So what's the question then? Is there yadayim? That's the question. But wait a minute. Can you arbitrarily make additional rows peah? Is that like a given, la halacha? I mean, suppose a guy wants to take, after he starts his ketzira, obviously, because there's no chiyuv of peah without a ketzira. Because it's kiditzar, not to be kutzer the peah. But suppose you want to give everything that's left after you started that first act of ketzira. Could you just keep taking peah? And this one, and this one, and this one. I mean, what if you take everything that's left? Could it all be peah? I mean, don't we need to worry about whether you're exceeding the shear? Are you telling me you could make a whole field peah? Yes, I am. Absolutely, I am. Look at the brayta. How do we know that if a guy wants to give his entire field as peah, he could do that? Talmud lomar, peat satcha. The peah can consist of your field. Okay? So, yes, I know exactly what I'm saying, says Rav Papa. That's exactly what I'm saying. So now, do you have an answer or not? I want to know whether Yadayim applied to Peah. Now, you want to know why I'm asking that? I'll tell you why. Because there's a pasuk that implies that Peah should have the same din of Yadayim that Korbanos have. Why? Because me, I'm Rina. Given the it kish le Korbanot. Since it's compared to Korbanot, and the Gemara is going to explain in a moment where it's compared to Korbanot. So therefore, just like Korbanos have a yad, Peah has a yad. Or shall we say that the comparison of Peah to Korbanos is only in the context of Baal Ta'acher? All right. Now, first of all, do we or do we not have a klal gavi that you've written down, Ein Hekesh Lebechza? Yes. So if it is a hekesh, so why are we questioning whether it's a complete hekesh or only a hekesh in the context of Baal Ta'acher? The Ran explains that the basis of Rav Papa's question is whether a hekesh, in the event that a particular idea was included in the hekesh only through a remez and not through an actual mentioning of that thing, would the klal of Ein Hekesh Lemechza apply to something that is not the main point of the Hekesh? And that's the issue. Okay, now let's take a look at the Hekesh. The Hecha Itkesh, where does the Torah compare Peah to Korbanos? Ah, that I know from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki tidor neder la'ashem elokecha, lo ta'acher l'shalmo, ki dorosh yidrashenu ha'ashem elokecha me'imach, okay, we use that pasuk Dorosh Yidrashenu as an extension of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come after you, and we used it before as part of the drasha of Baal Ta'acher for Naziris, maybe Tiglachat Naziris, etc., right? Okay, we used it to tell me that even Korbanos that you're chayev on, and you never made a neder on, like a chatas and an arsham, Dorosh Yidrashenu, God's going to take it out of your hide. Okay, fine. Now, it says over there, the word, however, to mi'imach, and it says in the Braita, Dorosh Yidrashenu mi'imach, that's a reference to Peah. Leket Shikra and Peah. Why is that? Because when the Torah discusses giving things to the poor, it uses the word et ha'ani'imach. And therefore, there's a remez that when it's talking about Dorosh Yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha mi'imach, that it's including even gifts to the poor, which includes Peah. Now, you must admit, it's a beautiful remez, but it's still only a remez, and no casual reader would see that we're comparing Peah to the din of the Dorim to Baal Ta'acher just because of this, right? That's my question. Obviously, the Me'imach is good enough for me to learn the din of Baal Ta'acher for Peah, yes. But is it also good enough for me to apply the Klal of Ein Hekesh Lemechza and say that if Yadayim work for Korbanos, that Yadayim work for Peah? Oh, that's what I want to know, says Rav Papa. Answer me, Yadayim Ochichot Paneah, Yadayim Ochichot. Okay, do you have an answer? You don't have an answer, and I'll ask you another question, just to make you feel worse. What about tzedakah? Yesh yad l'tzedakah. Or ein yad l'tzedakah. If you want to give something to tzedakah, what do you mean? The truth is that it's really similar to the question that we just had, because tzedakah is also merumas in the pasuk, as we'll see. So what would it mean if a guy said, "Here's a dollar for tzedakah," and then he takes another dollar and he says, "And this dollar also. Well, like we said before, that is tzedakah. That's obviously not the case. The case is where he said this dollar goes to tzedakah and this. Yeah. Well, he didn't say also. All right. I mean, what do you mean, and this? Well, maybe he means, and this we should keep for our new TV. I don't know, maybe. So that's the question. If there's yadayim, then of course this is yadayim mochichot. But if not, then not. So what did he mean? He didn't say two. So adei nami, did he mean this one also is tzedakah? Or did he mean, and this one should be kept for our TV? The nafkuta be'alma karma, which is needed. Maybe it's our movie fund. The dibura hu delo aske, he just didn't bother saying what he was meaning. Same question. Mi'amrinan kivan dizkish l'korbanot. Where is it? Compared to korbanot. Motzas vatecha tishmor v'asita kasher nadarta l'Hashem elokecha nedava asher dibarta beficha. And we darshan that that word beficha is a reference to things that you give to tzedakah because of a remez in the posuk in Yeshayahu. Tzedakah befi. So ma korbanot yesh lemiyad av tzedakah yesh lemiyad. Or perhaps yesh hekesh lebechza. We're talking about Baal Ta'acher. And it's only a remez, and therefore we will not be able to apply it. To be continued in all of these various questions where there might be a hekesh. But anyway, we have seen differences between the concept of yadayim and the meaning of the neder, between the way that we use yadayim in different sugyas, such as kedushin, gerushin, nedarim, nezirus. The different ways that we apply to the concept of hafla'a to the etzem neder, the etzem nedziris, or to the yad of the neder. The way that we sometimes use loosely the word yad to mean the clarity of meaning. The difference between clarity of meaning and clarity of language. The difference between the brain's filling in language, which is communication, which is the real meaning of yad in its deepest sense. And the contextual additional meaning, which is supplied by external factors. Namely, if I'm handing you this get, then obviously it's because I want to divorce you and things like that.